send messages to Rome saying that Augustus is dead, and that for the time being, at least, the command of the Roman Empire devolves upon me.
Tiberius, are you trying to deny me any part in the governing of this empire?
Yes, Mother.
Welcome back. Episode 29, hour three, the witching hour.
We're going to do better. We're going to do better this time. We're going to end on a high note. Not a deep note. We
promise.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to try hard. Last episode. What were we talking about in episode 28, Ray?
We were talking about the various reasons why Livia Julia would actually go along with any of Sejanus's plans to put aside her husband, Drusus. Who knows? But the point is, she seemed to be an ally of Sejanus in his deed to get power, which, again, we'll never know the thing why. But if you've got someone's wife on your side, that's a pretty good get. And Sejanus is well on his way to making his dreams come true.
So, Sejanus's plan might have been to get rid of Drusus and Nero, as well as Nero's mother, Agrippina, as quickly as possible, then marry Livilla, the wife of Drusus, a granddaughter of Augustus, kind of gives him, that's his entry point into the family now, and rule as regent for her twin sons, who might in fact be his twin sons, Gemellus and Germanicus the second.
That's his best shot.
Maybe she was just, maybe that was her motivation too. She wanted her sons to be the heirs to the throne, because otherwise their lives might be on the line. Her life might be on the line. Maybe she was in love with him. Maybe he liked to go down on her. Maybe her husband Drusus was a bit of a dick. We don't really know much about her, except, according to the sources, she was incredibly beautiful.
Ew.
Which didn't hurt.
No,
Sejanus's interests here.
Right. Yeah.
So Drusus, as I mentioned in the last episode, Drusus apparently had a temper, had a bit of a cruel streak, we believe, was a big drinker, a bit of a loud mouth, bit of a spoiled brat by the sounds of it.
Right.
Liked to smack her around. So maybe, we don't know. Maybe he was a bit of a dick and they decided to murder him.
Yeah.
So do you remember who his mother was, Ray?
Drusus. It was the, it was the love of Thibaut's life. Oh, it's gone. The name is gone. Who was she?
Vipsania.
Thank you. The love of Tiberius's life. He was forced to divorce her to marry the slut whore Julia the Elder. Yes, Vipsania. Is she still alive at this point?
No, she died around about 20, a few years earlier.
Gotcha.
Vipsania Agrippina. Right. Mm-hmm. She was the daughter of Agrippa and his first wife, I think, Pomponia Caecilia Attica, the granddaughter of Atticus, Cicero's best buddy, guy he wrote all of his letters to.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of letters to. So there you go. So, and she was actually betrothed by Augustus and her father to Tiberius before her first birthday.
Damn.
Which was
kinky.
Yeah. They were married around 19 BCE. Drusus was born in 14 BCE. And then obviously Tiberius was forced to divorce her.
Yeah.
Agrippa, her father, died, and his third wife, Julia the slut whore, was forced to marry Tiberius.
Right.
And Tiberius was forced to divorce Vipsania, et cetera, et cetera. So she is Drusus's mother.
Damn.
This will become relevant later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, they decide to murder Drusus. Now, her doctor, Livilla's doctor, Eudemus, was involved. And Sienus, around this time, divorced his wife, Apicata.
Aww.
And he had three kids with her. He divorced her so he could marry Livilla. That right. might have been part of, we don't know the timing. Maybe he divorced her after Drusus was dead. Maybe before Drusus is dead. Maybe that was part of getting Livilla in on the murder plot. It was like, listen, I tell you what, to prove to you right. that I'm serious about this, I'll divorce my wife, we'll kill Drusus, then we can marry. That won't look suspicious right. and at all. And, we'll live happily ever after. We'll get, I convinced Tiberius to retire to his fuck dungeon right. and it'll all be good. Yeah. We will reign supreme. Well, we'll get rid of Agrippa and her kids. It'll just be us, baby. Get a little cottage by the sea, you and me forever.
Ruling the world, yeah. But, and again, we don't know the exact order, but a lot's going to happen in this year of 23. And Sejanus does have to move fast because early in that year, young Drusus puts on the toga virilis. He's now officially a young man. Some of the honors that were given to Nero 3 years earlier were now given to this Drusus who's now a man. So, yeah, things are getting to a critical point where Sejanus has got to act, and he's got to act fast if he's going to have any chance of pulling this incredible, incredible stunt off.
How does that play into his timing, though? Young Drusus, Germanicus' second eldest, getting the toga virilis.
Well, if Drusus...
How's he a threat right now?
If Drusus dies and Nero and Drusus are, even though they're inexperienced, if they're officially men, if they are unage, maybe Tiberius might just bring them into the palace and start an advanced track of training them. I don't know. I think it's just one of those wild cards that Sejanus would rather not have to deal with. It's better if Drusus is dead. He can marry Julia and officially get in there. So I think just the fact that they're getting older, he probably feels like he's on a time crunch. How do you interpret that?
Well, I don't. That's why I asked you. I don't really know why Drusus is an issue, but you said it, so right. I was trying to get you to explain it.
All right.
If you say things and can't explain them, then
that's
what's the
kind
fucking
of my
point
thing.
Of
it's kind of my thing.
Well, I Hello. Know that, and you know that, and everyone right. listening to this knows that, but. You know, we still live in hope that one day,
okay,
before you die in a horrible drunken car accident midway through a Chorus of Africa that you videotape for my benefit, you will
right.
think about things before you read them.
Right.
Straight off of Wikipedia.
Not today. Hmm. Not today, my friend. No.
Okay. Listen, I don't expect too much of you. You know why? Because you're an American. And my general view of Americans right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you haven't tried to tell me that it was Vladimir Putin that was behind all of this. Because
I was getting to that. Right. Go ahead.
The level of intellectual rigor I'm seeing coming out of American people on Facebook right now, and you know who you are, is very disappointing, to say the least.
What's he done now? I haven't been paying attention to the news. What's he done now?
No, it's nothing. It's just,
you know. The normal.
People. Yeah. People are going, Barr lied. I go, really? Tell me where. Where did he lie? Well, I heard it on NBC, MSNBC, that he lied, so he must have lied. Really? Show me where. Yeah. And then they go mysteriously quiet. Right. Even in the comment section of my blog, people are going off. Anyway, that's
all right.
let's not get sidetracked. No. So the poison, they decide to poison poor Drusus and to use a poison that will take him slowly and make it look like an illness. Aww. Now, the poison was administered by a eunuch, Lygdus, who was probably Drusus's poison taster.
Nope, it's fine. Yeah.
Rule number one of hiring a poison taster is you make sure he's not the guy that's going to put poison in the drink.
Right. And
so during the interview process, do you understand what this job is? Yep. My job's to put poison in your drink. No. Common mistake. Your job is to make sure there's no poison in my wine. Oh, I get it. My job is to put poison in your wine. No. Let me do it again slowly. See, that's what happens. It's part of my problem with hiring you. When you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. I always said to Drusus, people say you gotta get a better co-host. You gotta get somebody who actually does some work and is intelligent and can put up an argument. I go, yeah, but I'd probably have to pay them more. You know, Ray works cheap. A few bananas and dirty pictures, and he's happy.
And I'm dying. Yeah.
It's like, do I need to spend more money than that, really?
Because I don't want to.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Once a year, he comes up with a funny line like scapegoatsy or pulla sulla. You know, you had me at pulla sulla. That's
mission accomplished. I'm good.
See, maybe if he'd, you know, that's the problem with paying minimum wage.
American for minimum your
poison
wage.
Taster. Right. Yeah. American minimum wage is getting paid $9 an hour. Not even minimum wage in like Washington State, but minimum wage in Colorado or somewhere. Mm. He's getting $9 an hour. He's like, well, fuck you. No, I'm going to.
He's getting his money's
worth.
They're
paying me more money to put poison into your drink than you're paying me to drink the drink and maybe die from it. So,
that's true.
Look, easy decision, quite frankly. Didn't have to think about that one very long, quite honestly.
Oh, where were we?
So Drusus fell ill and nobody really worried about it too much, including Thibaut.
Yeah.
Who went, oh, he'll be right, he'll be fine, and just kept going to the Senate as usual, didn't bat an eyelid.
Well, didn't this happen a couple of years ago where Drusus got really sick and Thibaut didn't go to visit him because he probably assumed, and I think rightly so, that he just went on a bender for a couple of days in Vegas, was shits, you know, sick, alcohol poisoning, but he's relatively young, he's strong, he'll get over it. He's sick here, he's young, I think he's like 36, he'll get over it. Just give it time.
Yeah. 37, I think, somewhere around there. Yeah, but he's a big drinker, big eater, probably just party, too many whores, too many vinos. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it. He'll be good.
Right.
And then on the 14th of September, 23, Drusus died. And everybody, except the people who murdered him, were very surprised and shocked. Now, at this juncture, I want to point out that not only did nobody, apart from the conspirators, know he was poisoned, apparently no one, including Drusus, even suspected he was being poisoned or had been poisoned.
Right.
He, unlike Germanicus, who said, I've been poisoned! Everybody,
avenge me!
I'm gonna die. Yeah. I've been poisoned. Avenge me! Yes, right. I think it was Piso who did it. I have my suspicions.
Piece of shit.
Avenge me!
Yeah.
Drusus didn't see it coming, even though he knew Sienus didn't like him,
right?
And he knew maybe that his wife had been banging Sienus for several years, and maybe that his twin sons were Sienus's kids. Still didn't raise the alarm. Thibaut never suspected. So how do we know that he was poisoned, Ray?
Yeah. So not until, and I hate to do spoilers, but not until 31, when Sejanus falls from power, that Thibaut gets a letter from Sejanus' divorced wife, Epicata. And she sends him a letter and with supposedly all of the details that we just told you. And after she sends this letter, I guess maybe to show how sincere she was or maybe fear of reaction to the letter, she kills herself. So what's that, like 8 years or whatever later that everyone thinks it was a natural death, and then suddenly Thibaut gets this letter, your son was murdered.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck me.
And this is, I thought you were going to tell me it was Rome CSI who worked it out, but or Sherlock Rome's. Sherlock Rome's.
There is a Rome.
Get it?
There is a Rome CSI, CSI Rome later on in my notes, but not for this. But there should have been. You're very correct, sir.
I wonder if our friend Stephen Saylor has done one of his Rome detective novels about the death of Drusus.
Ooh, that'd be good.
He must have. Yeah, Gordianus the Finder.
Right, love Gordianus.
I wonder if he's done any of those about Sejanus and Drusus and that kind of stuff.
He's got to.
We should. I haven't read any of those books.
Oh, they're good.
I haven't they're read. Good. Have you? Yeah. You've read some of them.
They're good. Yeah.
You haven't read one about Sejanus,
no,
though.
If I do, it was a long time ago. I don't remember. But no.
He should have one where they're plotting, where Gordianus is figuring out the murder. Of all these guys, Germanicus, Sejanus.
Oh, my God.
I might email him and ask him.
Check it out.
So anyway, yes, we find out later. Now, her motive, apparently, for revealing all of this was revenge on Livilla for stealing her husband.
Yeah.
And after she revealed this, her doctor, Eudemus, and the taster, Lygdus, were arrested and tortured and confessed under torture. They also confessed that apparently Vladimir Putin and Osama bin Laden were secretly behind it all along.
And lovers.
And right. that Julian Assange... had leaked the emails mm-hmm. knowingly that they'd come from Vladimir Putin himself. Right. Vladimir Putin infiltrated the DNC's headquarters like Tom Cruise in the first Mission Impossible film, like coming down on a rope into a pressure-sensitive data center. Naked, as he does. He rode there on a bear, took off his... AK-47
right.
and base jumped down into the DNC's headquarters.
Right.
Because he's a supervillain. I listened to a good podcast during the week. It's just about Vladimir Putin by a Russian journalist, a dissident Russian journalist. And he's a critic of Putin and the regime, but he was laughing. He goes, the way Putin's portrayed in America, and I think this was on like a Slate podcast or something, it's like he's portrayed as this, you know, genius, super villain.
Right.
He goes, he's can't even control elections in Russia. The ruling party are losing elections left, right, and center in Russia. And you think he's this evil super genius that's controlling everything in America? He said it's quite amusing. The portrayal of him as this Bond villain in America, when in Russia we know that he's barely holding on to power. He's a bit of a joke. That's why he has to be a little bit violent, a little bit brutal, because people are pretty much, you know, realize that he's waning, his power is waning. Mm. Anyway. Yeah, so she put this letter. Thibaut, up until this time, which is like 8 years later,
yes.
suspected nothing, was convinced that Drusus died of ill health or excessive self-indulgence.
Debauchery.
Now... Yeah. This is a guy, Thibaut, who is paranoid, who is expecting threats against his family, who is aware that Germanicus was poisoned, may have even mm-hmm. been involved in the poisoning of Germanicus, and yet
yes.
never suspected yes. a poisoning happened here. You'd think a poisoner would know a poison job when he saw one.
Right. George was CSI.
And a master investigator, too. Right. He was fucking CSI. He was the guy going to crime scenes, and we've got some more stories about that later, and sniffing out the evidence. He was Sherlock Holmes. He was fucking Batman Tiberius. He was going around and uncovering the, you know, evidence to get people convicted, and he never picked up that there was poison involved here. So that sounds peculiar for a start. Secondly, if Sienus had poisoned Drusus, why did he leave Apicata, Eudemus, and Lygdus around to rat him out if they knew about it? Why didn't he kill all of the witnesses?
Yeah, that's a huge...
Also,
yeah,
you've got an ex-wife, Ray. I've got several.
Yeah.
If you had plans to murder somebody, the son of somebody really important, would you tell your ex-wife about it?
No, and I don't accept any kind of food or drinks from her, even to this day, because I'm not stupid. So no, I wouldn't tell her about it. I wouldn't tell her about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's his ex-wife know all this? Like, the timeline, as far as we can figure it out, is he divorced her before they murdered Drusus.
Oh.
Can't really see him sitting down going, listen, Apicata, thank you. You've been a wonderful wife, mother of my three children.
Right.
However, I'm going to divorce you now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I'm gonna go marry Livilla. You may or may not know this, but I've been fucking her for several years, and her sons are my sons. She goes, yeah, I knew, but I never thought you'd actually like leave me.
But we're happy.
I'm leaving you. She goes, but she's married to Drusus, Prince Drusus.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, see about is that. She? We're going to poison him to death. Keep it to yourself. We're going to poison him. How are you going to do it? Well, you know, the his poison taster we've bought off. He's going to administer it in his wine. He's going to take a sip, go, oh no, it's all good, boss, and then tip some wine in it, and then we've bribed the doctor. To right. go, natural no, causes. It doesn't look like poison to me. I think it's just he drank too much. Too much. So, but you know, just between you and me, keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
That, if that's okay. Now, come on.
Right.
How does she know all the details? And if she does know them, Sienus being Sienus, why didn't he have them all killed? He's on a killing spree.
Right.
Why didn't he kill them? It just, it sounds a bit fucking fishy.
Yeah.
It's a bit like St. Paul saying, oh, the ghost of Jesus appeared to me and said, I should take this to the Gentiles. And the disciples of Jesus going, Gentiles, really? Because he never mentioned anything about that to us. You would have thought, if that was one of his intentions, he would have told us that.
Master plan.
Paul's like, oh, well, you know, he meant to tell you.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, he just forgot, slipped his mind. And he was going to tell you at the Last Supper, but he had too many vinos, and then he got captured and killed. So he asked me to come and tell you. They go, hold on, what about when he appeared to us after the resurrection? He could have told us then.
No.
No, he meant to then, but you were so busy sticking your fingers in his holes to really prove that it was him.
Oh, my God.
That he forgot. That kind of weirded him out a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like, ew.
Yeah.
I'm out of 5,000.
Get your fingers out of
me. But then he went to heaven. He was partying with God.
Right.
A few years later, he finally remembered, like 4 o'clock in the morning, he's like, oh, fuck, I forgot to tell those guys.
Damn. Need a timer.
So they said, well, why didn't he appear to us and tell us that? Mm-hmm. We're his guys, right? He left us in charge. James is like, I'm his fucking brother. Why didn't he tell me? Paul goes, well, Yeah, no, he knew you would ask that. And he says that you only get one post-death appearance. Yeah, that's the that way right. it works. You got yours. That sounds
right. Yeah.
That's it's in the contract of post-death appearances by the Messiah. You only get one.
And you've got yours
per person. Yeah. You got yours. So he appeared to me.
In a dream.
Got Are we good? Are we clear? Right. Okay. Well, good chat. Thanks yep. for that.
Happy trails.
I'll be yep. off now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about Olivia Julia, that one, she probably could have extrapolated, knowing what she knew about her husband's character and all the events. There could have been that. She could have simply just been trying to get revenge.
Hold on. But you're talking you're talking about, you said Livilia, you're talking about Apicata.
So I think that Apicata, I think she probably took what she knew of her husband, his character, and all these subsequent events, and she probably put one and two together. That's certainly possible. It could have just been simply revenge, that kind of thing. And the point is, we'll never know, because, like you were saying, when you don't kill the two people that were directly involved in the murder, that's kind of iffy, because that's like step number one. That's the first thing you learn in leadership school is to kill the killers. But then again, Drusus could have said, look, Sejanus could have said, look, I killed Drusus. If either one of you snitch on me, I will kill you. And at the end of the day, who are they going to believe, you or me? And that's just me playing devil's advocate. It's very fishy that they themselves weren't put away. But the point is, I think she had to wait for Sejanus to lose all of his power and have his reputation ruined before she could come out with her quote-unquote suspicions or facts.
All right, but there's two more possibilities.
Okay.
One is that she made it all up.
Yes.
To exact revenge upon Livilla.
Mm-hmm.
The last possibility, and this is personally my favorite solution,
mm-hmm.
is Thibaut had her killed, said it was suicide, forged the letter in her name.
Damn.
In order to make it look like Sejanus was really the bad guy.
To get rid of him.
So this all takes, well, he's already gone. This all takes place after Sejanus is gone, right?
Okay.
And right. he's saying, look, Sejanus was a bad guy. Like, okay, you may think, ladies and gentlemen of Rome, lend me your ears. You may think that I was in league with Sejanus to get rid of Agrippina and her kids. However, I wouldn't kill my own son. And here we have proof that Sejanus murdered my own son.
Right.
My son.
Yes.
So he is the bad guy.
Right.
Look, here's proof from his wife. Unfortunately, he and his wife are both now dead. So, no, you can't get them on the witness stand. Right. Unfortunate that. But just trust me, I am your emperor.
It's as plausible as anything else, because we just do not know the absolute truth.
The problem with that theory, though, is it makes Livilla a co-conspirator. She's the mother of his grandchildren.
Right.
And his, what did I say before? His niece and grand. I mean, is he really going to besmirch her name like that? Maybe if he's making it up, he would say, well, she didn't know anything about it. It was all Sejanus.
Yeah. It's messy either way.
So maybe
way.
That theory doesn't even hold water.
It's messy yeah. either way for him.
So
for
none
him.
Of them make sense.
Right.
Maybe it comes back to Apicata making it all up as revenge against Livilla. Her husband's finally dead, and her family name is embarrassed. Her children, their future's fucked because of what her husband has already done. He's already, besmirched and been executed, which we'll get to in future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's like, well, my life's over, my children's life's over. I might as well kill myself, but before I do that, I'm going to take that bitch whore LaVilla out with me for stealing my husband.
Go out with a bang. Yeah, yeah. But like yeah. you were saying,
and
but
like maybe was, in doing so, yeah. I'll fuck up the reputation of her kids as well. Well, there was only one left by that stage, which we'll get to too. But take him out, Gemellus as well. I don't know.
Absolutely. But like you were saying, so right after Drusus dies, Tippo continues working in the Senate. He continues to show up. He's doing everything that he would normally do. And one of at first, before his son dies, it's, yeah, he's sick again. He's drunk too much. He'll get over it. But after that, you get the sense that he is, I guess, trying to work through the pain or trying to keep himself distracted. Because, yes, this guy might be a dick. He might be an absolute cunt. We don't know. But the point is, he is a father. He has lost his son. Even though he thinks it's a natural death, he is going to have to mourn. And maybe he chooses to mourn by working and by keeping himself busy to have a couple of moments of peace about not thinking about losing his son.
Yeah, and in fact, Tacitus has a good section on this. He says, as for Tiberius, he went to the Senate house during the whole time of the prince's illness, either because he was not afraid or to show his strength of mind, and even in the interval between his death and funeral. Seeing the consuls, in token of their grief, sitting on the ordinary benches, he reminded them of their high office and of their proper place. Mm. And when the Senate burst into tears, suppressing a groan, he revived their spirits with a fluent speech. He knew indeed that he might be reproached for thus encountering the gaze of the Senate after so recent an affliction. Right. Most mourners could hardly bear even the soothing words of kinsfolk or to look on the light of day. As such, were not to be condemned as weak. But he had sought a more manly consolation in the bosom of the Commonwealth. Mm. So he's basically saying, look, I'm going to work to keep myself busy through this, do some good, do your fucking job, sit where you're supposed to sit, keep the state running, man the fuck up like me. Don't, he said to the consuls, don't besmirch the dignity of your role of fake consul.
Because
we've besmirched the role of the consul enough, you know, because it's not a real job anymore. I really hold all the power, but, you know, you pretend. Mm-hmm. You're a pretend consul. Go do your job of pretend consul by pretending well.
But he does talk to the Senate. After he bitch slaps him, he does talk to the Senate. He says, look, clearly the loss of my son Drusus has left a gap. I'm an old man. My grandsons are still too young. They're still untested by the state. So we have to do something. So then he asks for Drusus and Nero to be brought into the Senate. And this is done. And Tibo probably puts his arms around them and says, I commend these youths to you, noble fathers of the Senate. You must care for them, because whatever happens to them, good or ill, will affect the whole state. I need your help in making sure nothing happens to them that has happened to their father, to their uncle. Please help me protect the future of Rome.
Can we lift, please, please, can we lift the salary of poison tasters? Because honestly...
Can we lift minimum wage, or at least some of the more critical positions? Please, thank you, fathers.
Now, this was before he suspected poison. Mm-hmm. Here's what Tacitus says. Taking them by the hand, he said, Senators, when these boys lost their father, I committed them to their uncle and begged him, though he had children of his own, to cherish and rear them as his own offspring and train them for himself and for posterity. Drusus is now lost to us, and I turn my prayers to you. And before heaven and your country, I adjure you to receive into your care and guidance the great grandsons of Augustus, descendants of a most noble ancestry. Mm. So fulfill your duty and mine. To you, Nero and Drusus, these senators are as fathers. Such is your birth that your prosperity and adversity must alike affect the state.
Yeah.
There was great weeping at these words and then many a benediction. Then, you know, according to Tacitus, if he'd just stopped there, it would have been a good speech.
Pray continue.
Know when to shut the fuck up, Tacitus said.
Okay.
Because Thibaut then went on and said he wanted to restore the Republic.
Oh, fuck me.
He asked the consuls, or anyone else for that matter,
hot dog vendor,
to relieve him of his power. Now, I'm sure Sejanus would have gone, hello.
Hello,
here I don't know if you can see me here standing behind you, but my hand's up.
Yeah. Now, that can't be, I mean, that's got to be grief. That's got to be emotions. It's not like anybody could just stand up and say, I'll take the power from you, sir. Thank you very much. You've done a great job. You can go to your island now. I mean, no one can really take that seriously. And this is just me guessing, but that's got to be just the sign of the strain and the grief that he's under. To bring that up again, kind of like he did back in 14, I'm just thinking he's just like, fuck me. Again, I really don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. But now that my son is dead and I still want to put these boys in charge one day, how the fuck long more am I going to have to hang around and do this job that I don't want?
How would you even restore the Republic at this stage? I mean, you would have to, if he resigned.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got consuls, they've got a Senate, they could sit down and take away all of Thibaut's powers, and all of the provinces that are in his control could be transferred back to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
All of the armies in his control could be transferred back to the Senate. You know, I guess it could be done, but the Senate were looking at each other like, we need to do work in this situation.
Right.
Well, yeah, you'd be running things.
But I'd be checking with somebody, right? I would check with you, yeah. Right? No, I wouldn't.
No.
Fuck.
I'm going to be in my fuck dungeon. No, it's...
you can't.
It's you have to do it all yourself. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Nope. We'll see. You know, yeah. Look, we would do that, but listen, we love the Republic. No one loves the Republic more than us. But I've got my cycling group on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and
Pilates.
Really, the guys are counting on me
right.
to be there. Yeah Pilates. I really, and you know, my wife doesn't like it if I'm out after 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
She's
hours.
Very suspicious.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's gonna. I'm gonna have to give it a pass. I'm gonna have to give it a no. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, I gotta give it a no.
Yeah. They can't. They can't go back.
Now Tacitus gives him a hard time about this. He says he suggests that Thibaut was just pretending here. That he wanted to give up the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, he made it ridiculous. Just like Tacitus says he was, you know, pretending back in 14.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe he was in a moment of grief and he was just like, oh, it's all too much. I don't want it anymore. But probably completely impractical. Yes. But again, he was on the verge of retiring, hoped Drusus would take over. Now, like Augustus, he knows he's basically going to keep doing the job until he dies.
Fuck, yeah.
Or until the younger generation, which is Nero, Germanicus's eldest son, who's either 15 or 17, depending on which source you believe mm-hmm. at this point. I think 17 he is at this point, is old enough to take the reins, which is probably at least, as we said before, another decade. and Thibaut has spent a fortune on the sex dungeon. And as you well know, anal lube has a shelf life, particularly anal lube that was manufactured in 23 CE. preservatives
just weren't
great
right
back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the preservative we talked about in the bullshit filter last week?
Thermosilin. Sounds right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Not around.
So
yet.
So he's like shit, I got 1,000 virginal slaves that are 16 there. They're not going to sit around and be virgins forever, right? You know, I've spent a fortune on those.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm up for another 10 years of this.
Fuck no.
But that's what he's faced with at this juncture. Another 10 years. He's in his... Tiberius was born in... 42.
Yeah.
So 42 plus 23, okay, 64, 65, whatever, 67, I don't know, somewhere around there. Depending on whether you add the zero or carry the zero, I don't know.
what?
So he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be doing this till my mid-70s. What kind of fun am I going to have a sex dungeon when I'm in my mid-70s? No. No.
No, I say, you know, some of the tears that fell that day fell for his sex dungeon, his long lost sex dungeon that he assumed he would never see again. That's sad.
Tacitus also has this story that I like. In relating the death of Drusus, I have followed the narrative of most of the best historians. But I would not pass over a rumor of the time, the strength of which is not even yet exhausted. Sejanus, it is said, having seduced Livia into crime, next secured by the foulest means the consent of Lygdus the eunuch, as from his youth and beauty he was his master's favorite and one of his principal attendants. When those who were in the secret had decided on the time and place of the poisoning, Sejanus, with the most consummate daring, reversed his plan, and whispering an accusation against Drusus of intending to poison his father, warned Tiberius to avoid the first draught offered him as he was dining at his son's house.
Wow.
Thus deceived, the old emperor, on sitting down to the banquet, took the cup and handed it to Drusus. His suspicions were increased when Drusus, in perfect unconsciousness, drank it off with youthful eagerness, apparently out of fear and shame, bringing on himself the death which he had plotted against his father. These popular rumours, over and above the fact that they are not vouched for by any good writer, may be instantly refuted. For who, with moderate prudence, far less Tiberius with his great experience, would have thrust destruction on a son without even hearing him, with his own hand too, and with an impossibility of returning to better thoughts? Surely he would rather have had the slave who handed the poison tortured, have sought to discover the traitor, in short, would have been as hesitating and tardy in the case of an only son, hitherto unconvicted of any crime, as he was naturally even with strangers. But as Sejanus had the credit of contriving every sort of wickedness, the fact that he was the emperor's special favourite and that both were hated by the rest of the world procured belief for any monstrous fiction. And rumour, too, always has a dreadful side in regard to the deaths of men in power. Besides, the whole process of the crime was betrayed by Apicata, Sejanus's wife, and fully divulged under torture by Eudemus and Lygdus. No writer has been found sufficiently malignant to fix the guilt on Tiberius, though every circumstance was scrutinized and exaggerated. My object in mentioning and refuting this story is, by a conspicuous example, to put down hearsay and to request all into whose hands my work shall come, not to catch eagerly at wild, improbable rumours in preference to genuine history which has not been perverted into romance.
Ooh. It is a good story, but Yeah. Mm. Nothing more than that.
Conspiracy theories running rampant, says Tacitus, and he shuts them down.
Good for him.
Well, so what about Cianus?
And what way do you mean?
Well, what's he going to do now? Drusus is out of the way. What's next?
I guess he's got to work on the kids to... But see, he can't just go around and keep killing everybody. I mean, what's he going to do? It's only a matter of time before he gets picked up. So he's still got to work. You know, he's obviously got to get, focus on getting rid of Agrippina. But he can't just go around poisoning and killing everybody because it's only a matter of time before he would be discovered.
Yeah. Yeah. One poisoning you can hide. Two poisonings, maybe. You know, as George W. Bush said, poison me once, shame on me. Poison me twice, won't get poisoned again.
I'll have Dick Cheney shoot you in the face. Right.
So, yes, he's got to do something differently. Now, he can't just start fucking Agrippina.
Right.
Because there's no chance of getting in those panties. She has famously been chaste since the death of her husband.
Mm.
But time is now on his side in a way because Nero is 17, 10 years before he's got any chance of taking power. Tiberius is going to have to stay on the throne for at least that time. And so what's his face? Who am I talking about? Cianus.
Right.
Can take his time.
Yeah.
Can plot his path to power in leisure.
So here's my thing. So Janus has got more time. He's bought himself more time. That's good. But he can't do it all on his own. And again, this is one of those things we really don't know 100%. We know that Tiberius does not like Agrippina. We know that Livia doesn't like her. We know that Agrippina doesn't like any of them. And it's going to benefit the royal family and Sejanus if she is taken down. But again, she's a very popular, powerful person in her own right. One, you just can't walk up and kill her. Two, you can't seduce her, like you said. And three, you can't really poison her because that would be a very risky move. So I think Sejanus has got to get as many allies on his side to either go after her reputation or maybe try to make it look like she's done something against the state. So he's got to work on her now, but he's also got to be very careful about it and get as much help as he possibly can. This one's going to be a little more tricky.
So to bring down Agrippina, he recruits willingly or unwillingly both Livia,
right,
widow of Augustus, and Livilla, his now hot piece on the side, who, by the way, he tries to marry. He does ask Tiberius for permission to marry Livilla, and Tiberius turns him down.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, I know you're fucking her. I know the twins are probably your kids. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You've gone down on me and I enjoyed it. And you went, you know, and you used to go down on Apicius.
Yeah.
He told me all about it. Well, I know that you probably go down on Livilla too and she enjoys it. And who am I to get in the way of that? Keep doing that. But it's going to look tacky. If you marry, look, people already hate you and they hate me. And if you now marry the widow of my dead son.
Yes.
Just think about on that. Look, take it to Barry and Stan. Take it to Barry and Stan. See what they can come up with. But quite honestly, Barry and Stan were like, no.
Not touching that one, Governor.
No. Look, we can take a knocked up bimbo and say that she was impregnated by God and sell that. No, we're doing that right now, in fact.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of that one right now. Yeah, and we're feeling pretty good about that
Gangbusters.
Right. But Yeah, yeah. But seriously, so like there's some things, there are even limits to our magic that we can pull. We can't hush that one up.
Yeah.
The king of Thailand marrying his female head of state security. Yes. That one, we can do that. That's no problem. But this one, no.
No, thank
so,
you.
So,
yeah.
So that doesn't go down well. But he does get Livia and Lavilla to complain to Thibaut about Agrippina, that she's power hungry and at the same time has the love of the people, and that there is a political movement building Ooh. Up behind her that could well be getting ready to push her sons into power and push Tiberius out.
Right.
Now, my problem with this is Tiberius wants to get out. Tiberius would be like, fucking hurry up, will you? I mean, like, good. Sign me up to vote for the party of Agrippina.
Right.
I want to get out. If he really wants to get out and transfer power as Augusta wanted to Nero, then what's the problem with this?
Who's going to be regent until Nero grows up? I mean, he can't just turn the state over willy-nilly just because he wants to get the fuck out of there. If that was the case, he would have done that a long time ago. He is taking his promise to Augustus seriously. Look, I would happily turn this over to Agrippina, who I hate, and Nero, but I need to know who's going to be running the state, and I need to know they're going to do a great job, and I need to know that I'm going to fucking be safe after I, you know, hand power over. And I just don't think all those requirements could have been met at this point.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway, the other thing we have to take into account here is that we know that Livia's always been a little bit power hungry.
Yes.
Too. The mother.
Yeah.
Tiberius's mother, right? There have been rumors all along that she helped get rid of Julia and Julia's children and maybe also Agrippa in order to make sure that one of her children ended up with power, as she has with Tiberius. So Livia's vested interests in seeing her great-grandchildren, Tiberius's grandchildren, Drusus's children, maybe / Sejanus's children, because that's the other thing.
Yeah.
If they are Sejanus's children, then they're not even Tiberius's grandchildren.
Can't have it all.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Be on the throne. Not Agrippina's children, because the bloodlines here are fairly fucking convoluted.
Yeah.
But this whole thing about Agrippina being a threat to Thibaut and his plan seems weird to me. Doesn't make any sense on a whole bunch of levels. Kids are too young. There is official heirs anyway. He wants to retire and get out anyway. The only way she's a threat is if they're planning to assassinate him and all of his family.
Right.
But let's remember that Agrippina is the daughter of Julia the Elder, the slut whore, who Thibaut lets starve to death.
Yeah.
Her father was Mr. Get Shit Done, and he and Tiberius didn't get along very well. In fact, part of the reason I think Agrippa went quiet there for a while is there was a sense that he was competing with Thibaut
for
when he went east. You know, who's more popular.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's the granddaughter of Augustus. She didn't like Thibaut. Augustus didn't like Thibaut much, quite frankly.
Right.
Neither did Agrippa. Neither did Julia. She is their daughter, or granddaughter. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Germanicus, she believes was poisoned on the orders of Thibaut.
Right.
So she obviously has a lot of ill will towards Thibaut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite sure that she, and she's the granddaughter of Augustus, daughter of Agrippa, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure she is a mouthy bitch. I'm saying that in a good way. That's not a negative.
No.
I'm sure she's a very strong woman, like her mother was. We've seen that before. Remember, she was in Germany and she was taking control of the situation when Germanicus was off on campaign, and it looked like the camp, the base camp, was going to get attacked by the Germans and by rebellious troops. She took command of things. It was like, you build a fucking bridge, you fix that moat, you fix that wall. She's a strong woman, and she's, you know. So I'm sure she is bad-mouthing people. They can't fucking touch me. I'm the granddaughter of Augustus, for fuck's sake. His only... I'm his only direct descendant. His only bloodline, and he's a god. So you better believe you're not fucking touching me. You even look at me harshly. You better apologize. What does Harvey Keitel say in Reservoir Dogs? You even kill me in your dreams, you better wake up and fucking apologize. So that's where Agrippina's at. Now, Thibaut knows he's supposed to keep the throne warm for her sons, which I don't think makes him very happy. But as we've said over and over, he's a good Roman, doing his best to fulfill the dying wishes of Augustus.
Yeah.
Sejanus also gets other people he has influence over to warn Thibaut about Agrippina, all of these people that he's helped rise to power, senators, consuls, blah, 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 they're all whispering in Thibaut's ear every day, man, you got to be careful about this girl. She's coming at you, bro. And then meanwhile, Thibaut has another loss in 23, one of Drusus's twin sons, one of Thibaut's grandchildren, Germanicus II, dies aged 4 in 23. Again, no rumor of poisoning or anything here.
That's right.
Just a kid dying, as happened every day in the ancient world, leaving his twin Gemellus as Thibaut's only direct male descendant.
Right. And as we said a minute ago, Thibaut has been sinking down into his work, focusing on, you know, obviously the loss of his son and now the loss of his grandson. He's trying to keep doing the work, trying to avoid the pain. And you could almost say that in this way, he is distracted. And so if Sejanus is trying to pull strings behind the scenes, it could be a lot easier from now, because with Thibaut's grief and just showing up and working every day, trying not to think about all that pain, the last thing he's going to be doing is looking for a plot, you know, from the person that he trusts most in Rome, Sejanus.
Also in 23, Thibaut loses an old friend of his, Lucilius Longus, a.k.a. Lucky Longy, the only senator who had accompanied him to Rhodes during his 10-year exile.
Right.
So these guys are homies, deep homies. Tacitus calls Lucky Longy the partner of all Thibaut's griefs and joys.
Wow.
Now, despite the fact that Longy wasn't of noble birth like Sejanus, the Senate awarded him a state funeral and a statue at state expense in the Forum of Augustus, so he's a big deal.
Right.
Interesting note I found out about Lucky Longy, though. Not so lucky at the end of his life. Also in 23, before he died, he was banished from Rome for misusing troops in Asia while he was the procurator of the imperial estates. He has a trial. Thibaut insists that jurisdiction extends only over the slaves and the revenue of the property of the imperial estates, and that Lucky had usurped some of the authority of the governor.
Right.
And then he's banished and then he's dead. So whether he committed suicide or was murdered, executed, I'm not sure. Sounds like a suicide. Sounds like he had embarrassed Thibaut, caught out doing something with the troops. I don't know what, maybe just getting him to fucking, I don't know, build a garden for himself. I don't know. But he had misused the troops, holed up on trial, probably trial brought by the governor.
Banished,
embarrassed Thibaut, commits suicide. Anyway, Thibaut's sad about that as well, apparently. Also in 23, young Nero, makes a public appearance where he gets a big round of applause.
Mm-hmm.
Permission was granted, as we talked about on an earlier episode, permission had been granted to the cities of Asia to build a temple
right.
to Tiberius, Livia, and the Senate. And Nero delivered a speech just thanking them on behalf of the Senate and the princeps. And he did a great job, considering he's only about 17. Mm-hmm. Everyone applauds him. They said he reminded them of a young Alex P. Keaton, just in his little suit and tie right. there. You know, they were very impressed yeah. with his authority and articulateness and maturity. And everyone knew that Sejanus hated him, apparently, and that this put him in danger, even though nobody actually suspected Sejanus of poisoning Drusus. So this makes young Nero even more popular. They're like, yeah, yeah. you go put yourself in harm's way, boy.
Be brave.
Roman, 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 Roman.
Yeah, just and it reminds everybody of Germanicus and what could have been. So yeah, so this is just another thing that's reminding Thibaut how old he is and Sejanus everything that he might not win over, even though he's been, you know, even to the point of murdering people, he's trying still trying to get things. So it might not work out for him because this guy is getting older, and now the Senate is in awe of him in some way because of this great speech.
So that's what's going on in 23. Meanwhile, in the background, Sejanus is working quietly, saying nothing in public, but just white-anting the fuck
right.
out of his enemies behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then, on January 3rd, 24 CE, his plan starts to show itself. As the priests were taking their customary vows for the emperor's well-being at the start of the new year, they included Agrippina's elder sons, Nero and Drusus, into their prayers. Remember, Thibaut had brought these kids in front of the Senate and said, like, take care of these boys. They're the future of Rome. So yeah. the priests thought, well, we better chuck a prayer in for them
yeah.
then. They said, and please, please, baby Jesus, look after Nero and Drusus. Caligula, no, forget about him. I'm sure he'll be fine. Claudius, wow, he's an idiot. Don't even worry about Claudius. Just Nero and Drusus. Keep them in your watch. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, Tacitus says this was just your stock standard sycophancy.
Right.
Ass-kissing. Goatseeing, they said, just goatsee it for me and we'll get right up in there. But Tiberius apparently was furious
yeah.
that the kids should be included in the prayers that were for him. And he suspected that Agrippina had been pushing the priestly college to do it to, what do you call it? Push her kids up.
Right.
What's the word I'm
propping
looking for?
Propping them up. I don't know.
Look at what I'm doing with my hand. I'm doing the hand movement. No, just look at what I'm doing.
Is it emulating? Is
no.
it building them up?
No.
Stroking
no.
them? I don't know
she's,
what you're doing.
I thought we had some patico.
Bolstering. You were doing a bolster.
Them in the eyes of the public.
Yeah.
So that's how 24 starts out, and I guess we will leave it there because we're over time. We will be back yeah. next time with more of the rise and rise of Sejanus.
Yeah.
Hey, that was episode 30. I think they said that was episode 29. That was episode 30, in case you're confused, 30. People. Next time yeah. will be episode 31. Trust me on this. I'm good with numbers.
Oh.